In our Sunday morning services for the next few months, we're going to be looking at the Sermon of the Sermon on the Mount, which I am really looking forward to. And I hope that us as a congregation are also looking forward to what God is going to teach us and how he will use that sermon series to transform us as his disciples. The Sermon on the Mount is packed with amazing and challenging truths and teachings, which we as Christians must hear and apply to our lives as we seek to minister to the world as Jesus' disciples. And before we start to look at the Sermon on the Mount, I thought it would be useful to look at chapter 4 of Matthew to set this teaching into the context of Jesus' ministry. And you know how Matthew starts. We've got the genealogy of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the visit of the Magi, the escape to Egypt, the return to Nazareth. Then we read about how John the Baptist prepares the way. He then baptizes Jesus. Then chapter 4 starts with the temptations of Jesus by the devil. And after all of this, Jesus starts his ministry. And the remainder of chapter 4 gives us an insight into Jesus' ministry. It is my hope that as we look at Jesus' ministry, it will challenge us in our thinking about our ministry. As we think about Jesus' ministry, first let us look at who Jesus went to. At the end of verse 12, we read, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Galilee was one of the most densely populated areas of the Middle East at that time. It was small, about 50 miles by 25 miles. It had probably about 200 villages. Each of them were very heavily populated. And this was all because this was a very fertile province. Now, the Jews in Jerusalem, they looked up at Galilee and they called it Galilee of the Gentiles. It was surrounded on three sides by Gentile towns. It was also on one of the most important and oldest trade routes of the day. Therefore, Galilee was not as Jewish as the Jews would have liked it to be. It had many influences from other cultures within it. It was surrounded by pagan worship and pagan ideas. It was probably an area of hardness to religion. It was not the most obvious or easiest of places to start your ministry. But this is the area where Jesus went, where he decided to go, and where he could make and did make a big impact. These were the people, and that was the condition of the area which Jesus started his ministry. We also see in verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and healing every disease and sickness among the people. He went to the churches, and he went to the sick. Remember, back then there was a lot of stigma associated with sickness. But this didn't stop Jesus. Jesus also went and called fishermen. This was unheard of then, for a religious leader to associate and to call fishermen. It's important to see how radical Jesus' ministry was. Who Jesus ministered to is important for us to see and then for us to learn from his example. Who do we minister to? We live in a densely populated area, and one which is becoming more culturally diverse. Although traditionally we say Ballymena is the Bible Belt, really? Is it? The percentage of people who go to church here in this town is quite small. Maybe the reality is that we live in an area that is hardening to religion. We are surrounded by pagan, by non-Christian ideas and ideals. These are the people we need to go to. All we have to do is to look around and we see people in society who are suffering, who are sick. But honestly, we are good at not seeing them. We would rather walk past them than minister to them, if we're honest. The who of Jesus' ministry was a massively broad range of people. He didn't go to the easy place. Are we following the example of his radical ministry and seeking to make an impact throughout all of society? You know the answer to that right now in your heart. Second, let us look at what Jesus' message was. Verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, or kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 23, he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent is a radical moral turn of the whole person from sin and to God. As Jesus walked the streets of Capernaum, watching the people just walking along, working, shopping, simply living their lives, as he went into the synagogues and saw how the people worshipped on the Sabbath and then lived their lives without ever thinking about God during the week, I'm sure this broke his heart. He had a broken heart for them, because they were so far from God, either by them not acknowledging God in their lives or just by following pagan practices. So he went to them and called them to repent, to turn to God. Repent is a big word. It is more than saying sorry, although that is part of it. It is turning away from sin and towards God and then living a life looking to God. And importantly, not looking back to the sin. Jesus was calling the people of God as they saw themselves back to God. But they had to repent. This message of repentance was vital because when the kingdom of God comes, everyone needs to be ready or miss out. Jesus' message was more than just preaching repent. Jesus also taught. We read about Jesus teaching lots of times in the gospel. This is important because it shows us the personal side of Jesus' message. He got down beside the people and he talked about the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Just look at the power of the different parables that we can read. He explained his message, ensuring that people understood it. Jesus taught big groups. He taught small groups. He taught individuals. Look at the feeding of the 5,000, the Sermon on the Mount, how he taught the disciples in their group. Or at Zacchaeus, or Nicodemus, or the woman at the well, Jesus' teaching made an impact. Lives were changed. Another important part of Jesus' message was healing. I love this about Jesus. Not only did he preach and teach, getting down to our level so that people could see the truth, he went further. He healed the sick. He met people at their worst place. And we see that in verse 24. He was compassionate. He wanted to help those who suffered. He wasn't afraid to help, to touch the unclean, to go against social norms. His compassion was an important part of his radical message. Jesus' message was not one-dimensional. It included words, teaching, and compassion. How does the message of Jesus' ministry influence the message of our ministry? When we come to the Lord and repent of our sins, we are saved for the kingdom of heaven. which is amazing, that Jesus would sacrifice himself for us. It's good news. For us today, the kingdom of God is here, at least in part through the wonder of the Holy Spirit, that we can have Jesus living inside us. But when Jesus returns and the new heaven and the new earth is set up, when that ultimate kingdom comes, we need to be ready. The world needs to be ready. As we walk through the streets of Ballymena, watching the people just walking by, working, shopping, simply living their lives. When we see religion practiced by people only on a Sunday, but don't see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, does our hearts break for them? Because they are so far from God, either by not acknowledging God in their lives or by following other pagan and non-Christian practices. Because sadly, if our hearts don't break from them, for them, then we will not really see the need to share the message of Jesus with them. Without broken hearts for those who don't know Jesus, we will never tell them that they need to repent. The reality of Jesus' message was stark. Repent. Repent in heaven. Don't repent, i.e. do nothing in hell. Allow the reality of that to sink in. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of God or heaven is near. To preach is to proclaim. It's to proclaim something. Do our lives proclaim to those around us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near? Because if we really love the people around us, we need to let them know the truth. You might think right now that isn't easy. In fact, it's tough to be that blunt. Remember, Jesus' message included teaching, talking about Jesus with people, and explaining the reason for our hope. On Tuesday, Norman and I went to a conference on reaching out to socially deprived estates and areas. The pastor who was there speaking to us was called Mez McConnell. He was an intriguing character. It was a very, very challenging morning. One of the things he said that really struck me, and it stuck with me when he was speaking about his church's growth, he said this: No one in the estate has come to faith through any of the church's organized meetings. No one in the church has come to faith through any of the church's organized meetings. It has all been through people meeting and talking about Jesus. His heart for people and simply sitting down and talking about Jesus, explaining the Bible to individuals, was amazing. Talking about the good news of Jesus was simply something he did, something he does. He lives for it. It enthuses and it drives him. We could learn so much from him. The challenge of how we bring the message of Jesus goes further still. As we follow Jesus' example in helping people at their place of greatest need, healing the sick, going to the struggling, do we do this? Compassion, helping each other within the church, helping those around the church, helping the sick and the suffering and struggling. As I said, sadly, we just have to look around us and we see people who are sick and suffering and struggling. Only this week, I heard of 3 different people who are struggling. That's unbelievable. We need to go to them and help them. We may not be able to bring spiritual healing, physical healing, but we can help. And we can help by also bringing spiritual healing. Today, if you just preach, but show no interest in people and don't build trust and relationships with the people, then the message will not be complete. This message of Jesus' ministry was repentance. And he shared it by the words he proclaimed. His teaching and compassion. Let us follow his example. I also need to share a warning about the importance of personal repentance. An unrepentant heart can seriously damage our ministry. Repentance is hard. And I use the example of Abigail here. She will do something wrong and she will say sorry. And then she'll do the same thing again. And she will say sorry and she'll maybe even give a hug and a kiss. But she will still do the same thing again. So we are trying to teach her about true repentance. At four. You know, you say sorry and you don't do it again. You learn from it. But it's difficult with a four-year-old because she just wants what she wants. Sometimes we are like spiritual four-year-olds. We are serial sorry sayers. And this is a problem. It's not true repentance. Don't allow it to destroy your ministry. Repent so that sin and an unrepentant heart will not have a hold over you and will not damage the message of your ministry, the gospel. Third, and finally, let us look at the response to Jesus' ministry. Yes, in part we have looked at this as we thought about repentance. But we read in verse 14, to fulfill what was said of the prophet Isaiah in the land of Zebulun, Naphtali, all the way to the sea, along Jordan, Galilee, the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus' ministry was to fulfill scripture, Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah from the Lord. Jesus' ministry was to bring light to a people living in darkness, to people living in the shadow of death. Jesus is their light. Jesus preached repentance to save the people from the shadow of death. And he died and he rose and defeated sin and death so that those who believe and repent will have peace and don't have to worry about death. Look at the response to the light of Jesus' ministry. Verse 25, large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, the region across the Jordan followed him. The ministry of Jesus had a huge impact. It still has a huge impact. Large crowds followed him. They wanted to listen to his message, learn from his teachings, and to be healed. The response to Jesus' ministry was massive and it spread quickly. His message of hope and heaven was amazing to these people. We also see the response of the disciples to Jesus. They left their jobs to follow him. But with them, it was more than just following. Jesus also gave them a mission. Come and follow me, Jesus said. And I will make you fishers of men. The mission was to be part of Jesus' ministry. There is a difference between being a follower and a disciple. Disciples accept their mission and minister the good news of Jesus to the world. For a lot of people that we read of who followed Jesus back then, we don't know if they stuck with Jesus or not. But we do read that many did fall away. There is a danger, or is the danger, in fact, of following without taking up the mission. And we need to be really aware of this danger. A disciple more than follows. They learn from their master. And that's what we will be doing as we study the Sermon on the Mount. Disciples imitate their master so they can make an impact like their master did. Their mission is ministry. As I think about ministry, as I think about my ministry and my preaching, I have to realize that probably not very many people will come to faith through that. And that's not a derogatory comment on myself. It's a statistical fact about preaching. And you know, that's okay. As long as through my preaching I can inspire and equip the church, you, to be disciples, serving and using our gifts. The challenge is ours as the people of God to live out the message of Jesus in our families, our communities, our society, our workplaces, everywhere we go. You will be the people who God uses to grow the church, bringing people to a place of repentance. Because if we don't, the church will die. Our role as church leaders is to equip, encourage, and to provide programs that will help you on your mission of ministering the message of Jesus, bringing his light to the world. It's the only way we can get the world to respond to Jesus. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to respond in our lives to Jesus, to his wonderful and radical teaching, to his call to repentance in our personal lives. Lord God, help us to repent of the sins that are maybe holding us back right now, so that we can live as the disciples you want us to be. Help us to be a people who do ministry, who are ministry, who are going to those around us, those who we might not normally even go to, but we are sharing the message of hope that we have through Jesus and the cross and his resurrection. Lord God, let us be obedient to you, to your Holy Spirit's guidance as we live our lives. Let us realize that it is only as we talk about you, as we teach about you, as we show compassion, that the world will see your light. Help us to be little light bringers in this world, and let your light shine through us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.